And good Thursday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. You can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by Melissa Gott and her team over at the Law Group here in Wilmington. Reach out to them 910-251-6088or visit their website lawgroupnc.com. Well, if you'll remember back a couple of months ago, we talked about this back in, back in October, it may have been even a month or two before that. There are some changes that are coming and have been coming to the Pentagon as it relates to press access. Now, inherently, I am somebody that is a strong believer of free press. I mean, I don't know that you're not going to be able to point a finger at me and claim that I'm somebody that's not in favor of that. I don't know really anybody that I'm not sure that I could point to a single individual who is not in favor of a free press. But I do have an issue when I have to listen to or watch the pearl clutching of legacy media outlets. And this morning we're going to talk about a new lawsuit from the New York Times. When I have to listen to these legacy media outlets that have spent decades having the free press access they claim to care so much about and have purposefully lied and misled the American public, I have absolutely no sympathy whatsoever from these for these characters. I just don't. You can't, and we'll get into the details because the New York Times is suing the Pentagon over press restrictions, but you're not going to get any sympathy from me or the vast majority of other people on the right over your fight for free speech when you knowingly and willingly misled and lied to the American people about a variety of different things over the last couple of decades. And hell, we don't even need to go back decades to look at what has gone on just over the last couple of years with the previous administration. You had a coordinated effort by those like the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, ABC News, CBS News, MSNBC, now MS Now, to purposefully mislead and cover up what was going on in the previous administration. They lied to the public. They purposefully didn't ask questions. They purposefully didn't run reports that would be damning to the Democrats that were previously in control at the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue. They just didn't bother covering it. I mean, a variety of different issues. I mean, let's just use the one, probably one of the greatest examples of it, the immigration issue. For a large part of the Biden administration, mum was the word in terms of the immigration problem that was existing in our country. And it's not because MSNBC and the New York Times and the Washington Post and CBS and ABC, it's not because they didn't have access. It's that they didn't care to cover the story. Their overwhelming amount of media bias was so important. And their need to carry water for a Democrat administration overpowered everything else in the room. I want to just quickly go on a side to an individual that I've talked about a lot. You'll remember if you were following me back in 2024 when I was on the radio here in Wilmington. We read through, actually I think I spent an entire show almost, reading through an article that was published over at the Free Press. The FP.com is their website. And it was by an individual whose name is Yuri Berliner, a 25-year veteran of NPR, National Public Radio. And the headline of that story when he published it back in early 2024 was, "I've been at NPR for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust." And I'll put this in the show notes again over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Even though the article at this point is a year and a half old, it is a phenomenal read. It is a very insightful look, kind of peel back the wallpaper a little bit, look behind the curtain, and see exactly what is going on. It is a fascinating piece. Yuri Berliner was fired for publishing it. He was obviously ready to kind of go out the door anyway, so I don't think it came to any shock and surprise to him that he was terminated pretty quickly after this, what I think could be accurate described as kind of an expose ran over at the Free Press, which, I mean, he wrote. It's not like they concocted a story and put you know, false words to him. He wrote the story, and he highlighted the bias that existed over at NPR. He highlighted that over his 25-year career, he had seen an outlet that once was genuinely curious about news and politics, was genuinely interested in trying to dig into stories, purposefully pass on big-time stories and big-time issues. And he uses a couple of examples in his piece to describe this situation. I just want to read through a little bit of this because I think it's relevant and it kind of goes into this broader narrative of the so-called free press that the media, that you'll see outlets like the New York Times now bitching and complaining about. So I just want to read through a little bit of this. Like many unfortunate things, this is Yuri Berliner's post from last year. Like many unfortunate things, the rise of advocacy took off with Donald Trump. As in many newsrooms, his 2016 election was greeted at NPR with a mixture of disbelief, anger, and despair. Just to note, I eagerly voted against Trump twice, but felt we were obligated to cover him fairly. But what began as tough, straightforward coverage of belligerent, truth-impaired presidents veered towards efforts to damage or topple Trump's presidency. It goes on to say, persistent rumors that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia over the election became the catnip that drove reporting. At NPR, we hitched our wagon to Trump's most visible antagonist, Representative Adam Schiff. Schiff, who was a top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, became NPR's guiding hand, its ever-present muse. By my count, NPR hosts interviewed Schiff 25 times about Trump and Russia. During many of these conversations, Schiff alluded to purported evidence of collusion. The Schiff talking point became the drumbeat of the NPR news reports. But when the Mueller report found no credible evidence of collusion, NPR's coverage was notably sparse. Russiagate quickly faded from our programming. It's one thing to swing and miss on a major story. Unfortunately, it happens. You follow the wrong leads. You get misled by sources you trusted. You're emotionally invested in a narrative, and bits of circumstantial evidence never add up. It's bad to blow a big story. What's even worse is to pretend that it never happened. To move on with no mea culpa, no self-reflection. Especially when you expect high standards of transparency from public figures and institutions, but don't practice those standards yourself. That's what shatters trust and engages cynicism about media. Russiagate was not NPR's only miscue. In October 2020, the New York Post published the explosive report about the laptop Hunter Biden abandoned at a Delaware computer shop containing emails about his sordid business dealings. With the election only weeks away, NPR turned a blind eye. Here's how NPR managing editor for News at the Time explained the thinking. Quote, "We don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories. And we don't want to waste listeners' and readers' times on stories that are pure distractions." Berliner continues by writing, "But it wasn't a pure distraction or a product of Russian disinformation, as dozens of former and current intelligence officials suggested. The laptop did belong to Hunter Biden. It contained its contents revealed his connection to a corrupt world of multi-million-dollar influence peddling and its possible implications for his father. The laptop was newsworthy, but the timeless journalistic instinct of following a hot story lead was being squelched. During a meeting with colleagues, I listened as one of NPR's best and most fair-minded journalists said it was good we weren't following the story because it could help Trump." So that's just a little That's a little part of this story from Yuri Berliner. And he highlights two major examples of the so-called free press that we are constantly hearing about. You're constantly seeing the hand-wringing and the pearl-clutching from those on the left-wing side of the political aisle, which is 90-plus percent of media that exists, more traditional media that exists in our country, about free press. And so here you've got a guy who spent 25 years at NPR, self-describes himself as a Subaru-driving progressive, talks about his disdain and hatred for Donald Trump, who is highlighting in the top echelons of the NPR newsroom in Washington, D.C., which is their hive of news, that they ran on the Schiff story, which, as of course we all know now, is complete and total BS. Ran on that, which, you know, at the time, fine, right? I don't think it's a great idea, but, you know, Schiff was making these claims publicly that he had damning evidence tying Trump to Russia, and there was this big collusion thing. So they ran with that at the time, fine, whatever. But then the Mueller report comes out. We find out that there's no collusion, no evidence, no obstruction. None of this ever existed. And they never go back and correct the story. They don't give it any time at all. That's not honest, fair, free reporting. That is using your power and your authority as a media outlet to, again, mislead and lie to the American people. And the Hunter Biden laptop story isn't just exclusive to NPR in terms of their complete and total miss of that story. That was the vast majority of mainstream media outlets just weeks before the 2020 presidential election. Hell, wasn't just media. You had Facebook and X, or at the time Twitter, censoring the post from the New York Post, the article from the New York Post. And if you posted it on your profile, nobody would see your stuff. You'd be shadow banned on these platforms. You couldn't share it around. In some instances, you couldn't even send it in a Facebook message. Couldn't share it to people privately. This was a coordinated cover-up by entities in the media, the social media game, all around the block. Everybody was culpable. As Yuri Berliner highlights in this piece, they didn't think it was news. They're not going to chase down distractions. So these are just two very high-profile examples of the so-called free press that we have in America. I have absolutely zero sympathy for these rag outlets, these rag media entities like the New York Times, who is now suing the Pentagon over press access, and their cry for free speech, their cry for the standing strong with the First Amendment. If you guys were honest brokers of truth, I might have a different say. If you guys were actually interested in providing useful information to the American public so that they could, I don't know, figure out what the hell's going on in their government, I would probably have some sympathy. I would probably be lobbing bombs at the Trump administration and Pete Hegseth for the changes that they've made. But you guys have lost all credibility. And Yuri Berliner mentions this in his article from last year. This is how the credibility begins to shatter. This is how you lose trust. And the numbers back up this public sentiment and back up my point very clearly. According to a Gallup poll that came out just a couple of months ago, the trust in media is literally at an all-time low. People have zero, almost zero trust in media. This Gallup poll is from early October, so it's only a couple of months old. It's like 2 months old at this point. And the Gallup poll shows that there is an incredibly low amount of trust in media. And it's not unpredictable. It's not unexpected. Here's the chart. We looked at this back a couple of months ago. Here's the media chart from Gallup. This is showing Let me zoom this out a little bit so we can see it here. The green line is the one that you want to track. That is either a great deal or a fair amount of trust in media. And they describe media as essentially legacy, mass media, newspapers, television, and radio. Not podcasts, not opinion shows like this, but media. Newspapers, television, and radio. In the 2025 Gallup poll, only 28% of people have either a great deal or a fair amount of trust in the media. That is a record all-time low for this poll. And even more shocking, 34% of people say they have none, zero confidence or trust in mass media. 34%. While only 36% say they have not very much. So if you just do some very rudimentary math, do some quick number crunching on those two higher numbers, 34 and 36, that gets you to 70% of people have not very much or no trust at all in legacy media. 70%. That is an insanely high number. It's all self-inflicted, though. This is not shocking news to me, because media outlets, and you can see the general trend line going down over the last couple of decades, have determined that it is more important to push politics, push their agenda, push their bias, than report the news, cover the news. And I did a whole show on this back a couple of weeks ago. And I spoke at an event here in Wilmington back, same thing, a couple of weeks ago, a group called Braver Angels, about this issue. There is a difference between news and opinion. There should be, and it's well understood and well known. And I'll use myself as an example. I host the Carolina Journal News Hour every single weekday morning at 5 a.m. on WBT Radio in Charlotte. The name of that show is a very clear one, the Carolina Journal News Hour. And for those that listen to that show and know me and know my broadcast style, it is obvious and clear that it is not an opinion show. I don't give my opinion because that's not the show. It's a news show. I'll get an opinion from a reporter. Had the editor-in-chief of Carolina Journal on this morning, Donna King, got her opinion on some things. But it's a news show. And we push forward with the news. Then you transition over to what you're watching or listening to right now, the Nick Craig Show. Notice how news is not in the title? It's not called the Nick Craig News Show. It's not called the News with Nick Craig. No, it's called the Nick Craig Show. It's an opinion show. It's baked into the description of the program. If you go and read the description off you, if you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any of those other platforms, nowhere does it say this is a news program. It's not. I don't pretend that it's a news program. I never have, and I don't sit here and proclaim to you that I am some beacon of news. It's not the case. It's an opinion show. I have thoughts. I bring news to you, sure. But at no point am I going to sit here and say that, oh, I'm bringing you this information as a full-on news program. No, it's an opinion show. And it's okay to have an opinion show. There's no problem with that at all. I'm in favor of it. I'm doing it right now. Many of you are watching it and supporting it financially. No issue with opinion. But there has to be a differentiator. There has to be some sort of very clear line that is drawn. And mainstream media outlets, which are news, have blurred that line to the point that you can't even see it. It doesn't exist anymore. It's so blurry. The line is so blurry and so opaque that you can't even see it. It's non-existent. Now, many outlets like the New York Times and the Washington Post and others, they do have an opinion section. And if there's a big, bold thing right at the top, opinion, that's fine. But if you read some of their traditional news coverage, their news stories, those things are latent with opinion. There is opinion written up and down those entire things. But there's no opinion tag because they want to try and pass it off as news. Remember the Times story that we read last week about the illegal immigrant who had come into the country three times, had stolen some poor bastard's identity, racking up tens of thousands of dollars worth of bills from the IRS, destroying his family's financial and economic success. That story, we read through the entire thing here on the show, was absolutely rampant with opinion. Rampant with an agenda. Everything in their power to claim that this guy who was illegally in the country, had been deported three times, had been stealing people's social security numbers, stealing their identity so that he could work. The objective of that story, and they said just as much, was to paint him as just another regular everyday guy. That's not news. That's opinion. And having that opinion is fine. I think it's a stupid opinion. I don't have that same opinion. I think it's ridiculous. Having that opinion is fine. But you need to be honest with your audience, your readers, your viewers, your readers, and your listeners, depending on the outlet that you are and what you produce, what you are and where you're coming from. That's my largest gripe right now with media. That's my largest issue with so-called legacy media or mass media, as Gallup describes it in their poll. They're not honest. They purposefully hide, obfuscate information, mislead the facts of the story to push a narrative. Pushing a narrative is fine. I have narratives. I push them all the time. You know what you're getting, though, when you listen to this show. It's not a secret or a surprise where my political leanings are. I don't hide away from them, and I don't sit here and pretend that I'm some choir boy that's right down the middle. That's not the case. I'm very clear with what my political ideology is. I am a conservative. I am a Republican. I'm a free market capitalist. It's not a secret or a surprise. It's not new. So you know what you're getting. And then you as an audience, you as a viewer or a listener or a reader, get to determine, hey, is this what I want to read? Is this what I want to watch? Is this what I want to listen to? But you don't get that with these major outlets. You don't get it with the New York Times, the Washington Post, ABC, CBS, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC. The list goes on. They're news. Yet, you turn on their programming. Nobody opens a paper anymore, but you scroll through their website, and it's just garbage. So all of that setup to bring us to an article written by the Washington Post about the New York Times. I mean, some incessant behavior going on here. Here's the headline, ran last night over at the Washington Post. The New York Times sues the Pentagon over press restrictions. Defense Secretary, which also is a Department of War, which they won't note in their article. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's new requirement that journalists pledge not to solicit any unauthorized information violates the First and Fifth Amendments, the newspaper alleges, calling it, quote, an attempt to exert control over reporting on government dislikes. And so, before we get into the story, I will once again restate my point here. If the New York Times was an honest broker of information, if the New York Times spent their time accurately and fairly reporting what was going on, I might read this story. I might have the opinion and the mindset that this, what is happening right now, is ridiculous. But they're not. And the Times, in a lawsuit, is claiming that now the federal government is trying to control what reporting is getting out. Really? The New York Times, the same media outlet that covered up for 4 years controversy and issues under the Biden administration? You weren't kicked out of the press room, but you were told by the administration. You were given your talking points as to what the story was and what you should report. So you're going to have to forgive me that I don't have a whole hell of a lot of sympathy, or really any at all, for the New York Times and these other media outlets whose feet are finally being held to the fire. So let's read through a little bit. Again, this is a Washington Post story about the New York Times. The New York Times sued the Defense Department, or the Department of War, over its press policy prohibiting journalists from soliciting any information not explicitly authorized for release by the government. In a complaint filed Thursday morning in federal district court in Washington, the Times alleges that the press rules violate the First Amendment guarantee of a free press and the newspaper's due process rights under the Fifth Amendment. A spokesperson for the New York Times said in a statement, quote, "The policy is an attempt to exert control over reporting the government dislikes. The Time intends to vigorously defend against this violation of these rights, just as we have long done throughout administrations opposed to scrutiny and accountability." Are you freaking kidding me? Really? This statement from Charlie Standler? "As we've done through administrations opposed to scrutiny and accountability"? I mean, are you freaking kidding me? The New York Times? Do you remember what they failed to report on, what they failed to write during the Biden administration? And they're now going to preach to you, preach to me, preach to Pete Hegseth and the Trump administration about scrutiny and accountability? Where was this scrutiny and accountability over the last 4 years? Where was it? I mean, don't blow smoke up my rear end on this. No, not, there is nobody, unless you are a avid reader of the New York Times, which that number continues to shrink day in and day out. Unless you have got your blinders on and are just completely lapping up whatever garbage the New York Times puts in front of you, nobody, honest to God, believes that the New York Times is the beacon of accountability for the federal government. Nobody believes that the New York Times is giving equal amounts of scrutiny to the federal government. Nobody believes that because there's literally hundreds of articles to back up how that is not the case. There is years worth of stories, both print and digital, that absolutely blow this narrative and blow this claim out of the water. "But just as we have done throughout administrations opposed to scrutiny and accountability." So the Trump administration isn't good with and doesn't deal with scrutiny and accountability? Donald Trump is the most accessible president in American history. By far. He is available to the media and to the press almost every single day. Almost every single day, he's doing something with the media. Hell, earlier this week on Monday, he did an address to the address from Palm Beach, Florida, the night before Thanksgiving, talking about that tragic, the horrific shooting and killing that took place in Washington, D.C. Wednesday afternoon of last week. He then gaggled with the press Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, to provide an update and pass along the terrifying, the terrible update that a 20-year-old member of the West Virginia National Guard was killed. And you're going to tell me this administration is opposed to scrutiny and accountability? I mean, give me a freaking break. You might not like the answers that you're getting from Trump. You might not like the answers you're getting from the administration, but you can't say that they're not there for accountability. You guys lob questions at him every single flipping day, all hours, day and night, all the time. This is the same New York Times that wrote a BS article last week about how Donald Trump is slowing down. About how Donald Trump is like the Energizer Bunny, but the batteries are starting to run low. Then the White House releases his Oval Office logs just to, again, dispute this report. He's spending on average 12 hours a day in the Oval Office. I don't remember the New York Times, and I would have remembered because I covered the Biden administration very closely. I don't remember the New York Times writing a story about Joe Biden's schedule of, what, 3 hours a day? They'd get him up around noon, hang out for a couple of hours, like a Roomba bumping his way around the west wing of the Oval, the west wing of the White House, putting him to bed at 4 p.m., setting him up with his TV tray so he can have his Campbell's chicken noodle soup, watch some reruns on television, and go to bed by 6:30. I don't remember the New York Times highlighting that information. And actually, I remember explicitly the New York Times saying, if you brought up these concerns, if you questioned the months on end that Joe Biden was not seen by the public, did not hold any sort of press availability, did not speak to the American people in any manner, you brought those concerns up, you were a right-wing conspiracy theorist. Right-winger peddling false and misinformation to hurt Joe Biden. Damn you for bringing up these questions and these concerns. We're going to continue with this lawsuit written by the Washington Post, as the New York Times filed that in federal district court in Washington, D.C. this morning. We'll get into some of your comments as well, as those continue to flow in on our live channels this morning. But before that, I do want to thank the law group here in Wilmington, Melissa Gott and her team, for their continued support of the Nick Craig Show, and let you know that when legal challenges arise, whether they are good or bad, make sure you put your trust in the law group right here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. They've got a phenomenal blog on their website with new content all the time, discussing and going through a variety of legal challenges that you might be facing. Lawgroupnc.com is their website. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. All right, we'll continue with the New York Times and their pouting and crying over not signing a new waiver at the Pentagon to get access so they can lie to the American public and mislead them, coming up after this. As the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Thursday morning, streaming live, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. A very somber morning here on the Nick Craig Show as we shed tears for the New York Times and other legacy media outlets over their cries of First Amendment violations and the sad situation of the American media that exists, due almost exclusively in part due to their own bias, due almost exclusively to their inability to accurately report on almost anything that comes out of these major outlets. The Pentagon, back in October, changed its press agreement and said, you've got to sign this new form if you want to continue to be a member of the Pentagon. Plain and simple. It's their policy, and they set their policy, and now the New York Times is suing them over this. As we hear from a spokesperson for the New York Times say that they're trying to scrutinize and hold the administration accountable, and they're not allowed to do this because of the press access. The New York Times is worried about accountability. Yes, that same New York Times that spent 4 years covering for the Biden administration. Now, their guiding North Star is accountability and truth and trust. Gotcha. Good to know. Julie E. Barnes, the story reads, a national security reporter for The Times who handed in his Pentagon press credentials rather than signing the policy was named as a plaintiff alongside the newspaper. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and Sean Purnell, the Pentagon's chief spokesperson, were also named as defendants. The Pentagon's policy, which took effect in October, has been widely condemned by media organizations and press freedom groups, and states that any reporter credentialed to cover the Pentagon in person must sign an agreement pledging not to solicit information, even unclassified material that the government hasn't explicitly authorized for release. The lawsuit says, quote, it shouldn't be that the press becomes a shackle, a senior attorney for the New York Times, who, along with another attorney on the case, spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss the lawsuit before it was filed. The press pass should be a badge that allows you to do more, not less. More, not less. And the New York Times, the beacon of honesty and truth in American media, They're being boxed out by the evil, authoritarian, awful Trump administration. In its lawsuit, the newspaper asks a federal judge to strike down parts of the policy that violate the Times' constitutional rights. The Times retained Theodore J. Boutrous Jr. of Gibson Dunn, a prominent First Amendment lawyer, as outside counsel. Dozens of reporters, including representatives of the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, and Fox News, turned in their press badges rather than comply with the policy. Many walked out of the building together in October, some carrying out boxes of belongings from decades of reporting from within the Pentagon. The lawyers representing the Times said that they discussed litigation with other news organizations, but ultimately decided to proceed on their own. They said that they would welcome other outlets filing their own lawsuits or amicus briefs in the Times case. In an October the 10th statement, the Times Washington bureau chief Richard Stevenson said that the policy, quote, threatens to punish them for ordinary news gathering protected by the First Amendment, and the paper would not sign. So here's the thing. The New York Times, I mean, they made a decision. They could have signed this new press, I don't know if you want to call it disclaimer, whatever you want to call it. They could have signed this, but they chose not to because, again, they feel that it threatens and punishes them for news gathering operations and news gathering protections that are covered under the First Amendment. Just something just doesn't seem to add up here. Something is just not making any sense at all. Gabe Rotman, who is the vice president of policy for the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, a left-wing group, said, quote, "The Pentagon's press access policy is unlawful because it gives government officials unchecked power over who gets a credential and who doesn't, something that the First Amendment prohibits," saying, quote, "We look forward to lending our voice in support of this suit." Well, if you sign the document, you get your press access. If you choose not to, then you don't. So I'm not really sure that this is unchecked power. The New York Times could have signed this if they wanted to. The Washington Post and CNN and even Fox News could have signed this if they wanted to. But they've chosen not to. They've made a business decision that they're not going to sign. Why? To hell if I know. I mean, it's not like the New York Times in the modern era in late 2025 is seen as some beacon of honest and accurate reporting. I mean, nobody believes anything that comes out of their outlet and publication. That's why their readership is almost non-existent compared to what it was just a couple of decades ago. Nobody trusts them. And it's not because of Donald Trump. It's not because of the Republicans. It's because of their own failures. It's because of their own doing. And as I've mentioned a couple of times, I just don't have any sympathy for them at all. In a statement, the Pentagon Press Association, another left-wing group, said that it was encouraged by the Times' efforts to defend press freedom, saying, quote, "The Defense Department's attempt to limit how credentialed reporters gather the news and what information they may publish is antithetical to a free and independent press protected by the First Amendment." Oh. Limit how these reporters gather news and what information they may publish. And again, I'll just throw this out at you. How is this any different than every mainstream media outlet, including the New York Times, getting their talking points from the previous administration and the DNC? Because that's what happens. These emails go out a couple of times a week, not as often during the Biden administration because there was nothing to really report on. But these emails go out a couple of times a week to the Times and all these other places. "Hey guys, this is the agenda. This is the narrative that we're pushing this week. Use these keywords." And then in unison, what do you see? Every single outlet using the same couple of words in their headlines. You think that's by accident? Do you think that that just is a happy mistake there, as it's put? Happy accident that every single mainstream left-wing bias media outlet uses almost the exact same headline to describe a situation? You think that's just an accident? Or do you think that's a coordinated effort from the White House press shop to all of these left-wing rag outlets? I'm going to err on the side of it seems a little coordinated when every single outlet uses the exact same words in their headline or in their byline. The president of the White House Correspondents Association called the New York Times' lawsuit a, quote, necessary and vital step to ensure that journalists can do their job. Do their job. They're just folks. They're just trying to do their job. Just trying to do their job. Hammer the Trump administration and give a free pass to Democrats. They're just trying to do their job. I mean, what's the issue here? Just trying to do their job. Lack of access to the Pentagon, however, has not prevented reporters from landing consequential scoops, including the Washington Post's recent reporting on Hegseth's September the 2nd order to destroy a suspected drug boat in the Caribbean Sea, as well as a follow-up report from the New York Times. So hold on a second. The whole point of your outlet, or the whole point of this lawsuit, is that you guys can no longer report on what's going on within the walls of the Pentagon. Yet, here we are about halfway through this article, and they're literally saying, even though we didn't have access, we still got a huge scoop, and we're still able to report on something that happened within the Pentagon. So is it maybe possible that you don't need this press access in the first place if you're still getting the scoops? If leaking is still existing within the Pentagon, if the deep state is still hard at work within the country's largest office building, which is the Pentagon, so you're still covering the Pentagon. You're still getting exclusive scoops, but you're suing over press access because you're claiming you're not going to be able to report on what's happening. It just doesn't make any sense. Of the hundreds of journalists, photographers, and support personnel who regularly covered the Defense Department, only 14 people initially signed the press policy. After the walkout, the Pentagon announced a new press corps consisting largely of right-wing media personalities and outlets, including the Gateway Pundit, the Post-Millennial, Human Events, none of which have been regularly covering the Pentagon in person. Far-right activist Laura Loomer, a loyalist to President Donald Trump, who has repeatedly criticized defense officials in his administration, was among those approved to cover the department. Well, that sure as hell doesn't add up either. Laura Loomer, who's criticizing defense officials, got a press pass, has got the access to the Pentagon. Doesn't make any sense. That doesn't fit the narrative of the administration that's trying to pack the room with lackeys. That doesn't fit the agenda that the only people allowed in the room are so-called friendly media outlets like the Gateway Pundit, Post-Millennial, and Human Events. That doesn't fit the narrative, folks. One plus one is not equaling two in this equation. In the last like three paragraphs of this article, the whole basis of this argument has already fallen apart. The New York Times and the Washington Post are still getting access to the Pentagon. They're still being able to criticize, of course, the administration over blowing up drug boats off the coast of Venezuela. God forbid. It's some big freaking story now. Who cares? And then admit Laura Loomer, who's highly critical of the Defense Department, is also approved and has a press pass. Gotcha. The Pentagon held a news briefing for the newly credentialed media on December the 2nd, in which Press Secretary Kingsley Wilson roundly criticized the absent mainstream press. Among the questions were former lawmaker Matt Gaetz, a One America News host who was briefly Trump's attorney general nominee last year. Pentagon Chief Spokesman Sean Purnell has defended the press policy, saying it represents, quote, basic common sense guidelines to protect sensitive information as well as the protection of national security and to the safety of all who work in the Pentagon. A spokespeople for the Pentagon, the White House, and the Justice Department did not immediately respond to request for comment from the lawsuit. So there you've got it. then the story just goes on about how this is the Trump administration and all they do is try and hide the, you know, they're evil and awful. They're terrible. They're trying to hide things from the American people and how terrible and awful and everything they do is. I mean, it's just insane. Gallup has made it clear in their, well, I should say the American people have made it clear. Gallup has backed it up with data that they don't have any trust in the media. And again, rightfully so. In almost every case, completely self-inflicted. The Pentagon is sick of nonsensical leaks. They've asked these so-called journalists, these brokers of truth, as we are told to believe, that you've got to sign this new press disclosure or you're going to have to revoke your, you're just going to have to get rid of your press pass. I mean, a pretty analog question. Yes or no. I mean, it's not overly complicated. Sign the freaking piece of paper if you want to be inside the Pentagon. Yet the issue continues to exist. This was on Fox News yesterday. You'll remember a story that we covered just a couple of days ago. The insane amount of fraud that was taking place in Minnesota at the hands of Somali refugees to the tune of nearly $1 billion. I would argue that's a pretty damn big story that you've got a state of which the governor is the former Democrat vice presidential nominee in Tim Walz, right? Pretty prominent guy, pretty prominent state. And there was $1 billion worth of COVID fraud under his watch. I would just say to you and lay out on the table, that sounds like a pretty big story. That's a pretty substantial thing. You would assume media would cover it. Well, here is on the Faulkner Focus yesterday on Fox News Channel, a report from Newsbusters, which is a part of the Media Research Center, about how much coverage this story got on these so-called mainstream media outlets that have had their press credentials revoked. Because again, remember, again, this whole basis of this lawsuit by the New York Times, the whole basis here is to accurately report on what's going on, hold people accountable. That was a quote directly from a spokesperson for the New York Times. Accountability, accountability, accountability. We got to hold people to account. So how did mainstream media cover this insanely large scandal coming out of Tim Walz and the state of Minnesota? I don't know. Let's take a listen.
Let's do this. A survey by the right-leaning Media Research Center shows that over the past week, broadcast network Nightly News almost completely ignored this massive fraud story. ABC and CBS didn't cover it at all, not even a second. NBC spent less than 60 seconds on it. Now, I know you're not shocked by this, but I thought Democrats cared about COVID money and helping people out. Like, you would think that the the mass part of this fraud, they would care about.
That's the part of the story that I don't understand from the media and from the Democrats. They believe, you hear Zohram Namdani and others talk about, hey, we need more government, more resources, because there's no problem in your life, small or big, that government can't solve. But when you steal the money from government, guess what? The recipients of those who actually need it, they're the ones that are harmed the most. And that's part of the story they never, ever tell, because they want to perpetuate this myth that big government, more government, is infallible, and that we need more money, that the cupboards are bare. I would always hear Nancy Pelosi say, the cupboards are bare, we have to spend more. We're spending $4 trillion plus, and they still can't get it done, and then to have it ripped off by $1 billion. That's a massive amount of money, Harris.
That is a massive amount of money. Great commentary there from Jason Chaffetz. And as you can see right here in the for those watching, nightly news coverage of the Minnesota fraud scandal, 0 minutes at ABC, 0 minutes at CBS, and 60 seconds at NBC News. And these are the outlets. Again, this is the media apparatus. The New York Times, which all of these groups are tied together, that is suing the Pentagon, suing the Defense Department, suing Pete Hegseth over a lack of access so that they can hold Hegseth and others in the Department of War accountable. Meanwhile, you've got a major story that is unfolding right in front of our very eyes, was actually highlighted by the New York Times, funny enough. You've got this major, major story that's unfolding. And these legacy broadcasters who all turned in their press passes, ABC, CBS, and NBC, turned in their press passes, walked away from the Pentagon because they could no longer do their job. They could no longer hold government accountable. And they are completely ignoring $1 billion worth of fraud under Democrat governor, former vice presidential candidate, Tim Walz. It now hopefully makes complete and total sense to you why this Gallup poll shows that 28% of people have a great deal or fair amount of trust in media, and 70% have not very much or none at all. Hopefully that makes sense to you now. Why is that the case? It's not, again, not because of Donald Trump, not because of Pete Hegseth, not because of J.D. Vance, all of these terrible people that the media loves to talk about, none of their faults. It's ABC's fault. It's CBS's fault. It's NBC's fault. It's the Washington Post's fault. It's the New York Times' fault. All of these outlets that have made their business no longer reporting the news, no longer reporting facts, no longer being honest, their business now, and has been now for quite some time, it's, I think, now being exposed at a much higher level because of social media, because people have a choice as to what they read, watch, and listen to. They can go for and look at alternative sources of news. They can do that. They didn't have the ability to do that even, you know, even 25 years ago. That was a, you know, not a widespread thing. Not everybody was on the internet 25 years ago. They were starting to, but not everybody was. Now it's all over the place. Literally in the palm of your hand, 24/7 with your cell phone. They've lost the American people's trust. They have chosen to sensationalize stories. They have chosen to cover for their political allies, which are the Democrat, which is the Democrat Party and are Democrats, and have completely lost the trust of the American people, and now want to sue the Defense Department over lack of access to the Pentagon. Completely illogical. Makes absolutely no sense at all. But I can tell you what's going to happen. They filed this in Washington, D.C. They're going to get it in front of some left-wing activist judge, and those individuals are going to get their press passes back. That's how this is going to work. It'll be appealed. We'll find out. You know, we'll get a final answer on this maybe 16, 24 months from now, something like that, when it all the way plays out through the court system, and we'll see what happens with it. But that's the immediate result of this. That's what's going to happen probably right off the bat, is that they're going to lose the Pentagon or the Defense Department, Hegseth, they're going to immediately lose in a court of law because it's going to be in front of a left-wing activist judge, and that's how this process is going to play out. The New York Times, of all people, talking about accountability and criticizing an administration, how they can't do that. They have been one of the most critical media outlets for the Trump administration. They gave Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the Democrat Party a pass for 4 freaking years. And now they want to tug at your heart, tug at your heartstrings over free press and the Constitution and the First Amendment and the Fifth Amendment. Give me a break. These outlets continue to be more and more relevant every single day. And I think it's great, because they're no longer interested in doing the job that the American people expect of them as a so-called free press, which is, oh, I don't know, reporting the news, covering what's going on, giving people information so they can come up with thoughts and ideas. They're not in the business of that anymore. They're in the business of propaganda. That's it. Start and finish. It's all propaganda. From the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, and NBC. And the list goes on. It's all propaganda. They're probably going to win immediately, get it in front of a good judge, but I have zero, and I mean zero, sympathy for these arguments. I am a supporter of a free press. I do believe it is good when the media is and news outlets highlight, shine a light on wrongdoings and bad things going on in government. But the New York Times doesn't do that anymore. The Washington Post doesn't do that anymore. CBS and NBC and ABC News, they don't do that stuff anymore. So hiding under this veil of the First Amendment and a free press is laughable with what these outlets have become. It is laughable with the way that they have destroyed their credibility and lost the trust of the American people over the last couple of decades. So that was filed in court this morning. We'll see how this plays out. If anything newsworthy happens with it, I'll bring it to you right here on the Nick Craig Show. All right, tomorrow morning, we are going to dive into the Wilmington City Council. It is now officially a 7-0 Democrat-controlled group. Democrat-controlled board. What does that mean going forward? Plus, we will hear from some final comments as their time on council stops for Charlie Rivenbark, giving 20 years of service to the city of Wilmington, Wilmington City Councilman Luke Waddell. And we'll hear some of the intro speeches from the three new Democrat progressive council members that were successful in November of last year. We'll dive into all of that tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show. Thanks to the Law Group in Wilmington for their continued support. Reach out to them. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Nick Craig Show streams live weekday mornings, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and is available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for joining us. We're back here tomorrow morning with The Nick Craig Show.